And now Michiana Chronicles, a series of essays by area writers. This week, Anne Manuel Park wants to talk about how the 3%, the percentage of literature and translation marketed every year in the United States, has something to do with the economy of the 1%.
For Israeli translation scholar Gideon Turi, translation is both an act and an event. It is both a process that requires a wide range of creative, research, interpretive, linguistic, and cultural skills, as well as a singular event, emerging at a particular moment in time within specific social and economic contexts. As such, translation as a process and as an event contributes to establishing, reinforcing, questioning, or subverting imbalances of power. You may have heard of the controversy surrounding the translation into European languages of Amanda Gorman's 2020 inauguration poem, The Hill We Climb, celebrating the start of Joe Biden's presidency. It is ironic and regrettable that a text which urges us, quote, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man, end quote, found itself at the heart of a debate over who can and who should translate whom, though the core issues lie less in identity politics than in the market-driven publishing industry, the lack of diversity in the field of translation, and the publishers and translators clinging to the concept of the creative endeavor as a solitary act. Marijke Lucas-Ranchveld, whom the established Dutch publisher Mühlenhof had originally selected for the Dutch translation of Gorman's text, stepped down shortly after their name was advertised. What Dutch journalist Janice Doel questioned in her opinion piece published in De Volkskrant on February 25, 2021 about this matter, it was not so much whether or not a white author can translate a black author, but that the publisher and the Dutch publishing industry at large had failed to hire and promote a wider palette of voices as they had vouched to do. In Doel's words to the New York Times, quote, this is not about who can translate, but who gets opportunities to translate, end quote. Doel also focused on genre. She provided a list of ignored black Dutch spoken word artists suitable for the translation job. Following the controversy, the Dutch publisher decided to pick a team instead of a single translator, a wise decision if you ask me. Every year, only about 3% of the books circulating on the U.S. market are translated books, mostly from imperial Indo-European languages, predominantly French, Spanish, and German, and primarily written by white male authors. Translated books are expensive. Not only do the publishers have to acquire the translation rights for the books, but they also have to absorb the cost of the translation. The literary translation is not a lucrative activity. The added cost and the commercial risk involved in promoting an author who is not homegrown can make a publisher an adventurous. As a result, blockbuster books are preferred over less popular works that may be a better fit for translation to enrich national conversations on genre and style, as well as such topics as, say, gender and immigration. In his 2016 essay, Translating Poetry, Translating Blackness, John Keane reflects on how our vision of the world, our conversations around identity and race, are limited by the lack of text and translation, particularly black and indigenous voices, text from Africa and the black diaspora. He wonders how we could be, quote, learning from these texts, new ways to decenter Western and U.S. hegemonic perspective about blackness and black people, which might include black Americans' participation in furthering that hegemony. Perhaps not only more translators, but more black translators, particularly from the United States, will step into the breach to undertake this work, end quote. Because of the publisher's reluctance to invest in international books, a well-known author is sometimes asked to temp as a creative yet inexperienced translator so as to attract more readers because, well, who knows a translator by name? It's purely a marketing decision that alienates bona fide translators. It should come as no surprise to many that about 86% of the literature in translation in the United States is published by small independent presses dedicated to promoting a rich diversity of voices rather than chasing corporate profits. For a long time, U.S. publishers argued that Americans did not have an appetite for translated literature. In response, translators retorted, how could they? If translations are featured as a plate of sad pickled radishes on an all-you-can-eat buffet of national literature, mostly composed of processed carbs. And yet for all that, letter translators are not a culturally and ethnically diverse bunch. They cannot fix this issue on their own, though they have been trying to address this embarrassing paradox. Who wants a consuming job that requires a great range of skills and in-depth knowledge, pays little, and provides close to no visibility, only to end up with a drawer full of projects snubbed by a gatekeeping publishing industry? Publishers have to be on board to provide access and decent financial compensation to a more diverse range of authors and translators. Reviewers have to educate themselves to become more conversant in literary translation as an art form and as a social cultural event. Linguistic and cultural diversity has to be consistently valued, celebrated, and facilitated. Our schools need more literacy and language immersion programs. It is financially sustainable, and yeah, it takes a village. If you're a citizen, a parent, a fairy godparent, a consumer of literature, you are the village. I will leave you with my motto in my best Franco-Hoosier English: eat local, read global. For Michiana Chronicles, I am Anne Magnon-Pack.
Amour sacré de la patrie, conduit, soutient son brave vengeur, liberté, libère des chéris, combat avec des défenseurs.
Michiana Chronicles is a production of 88.1 WVPE.